Welcome to Sophisticated Property Investing, a podcast brought to you by Ethical Property Partners, the experts in sophisticated property investment.
Mr. Tim Scriven, thank you so much, sir, for joining us on the podcast. How are you today?
Very well, thank. No problem at all. Thanks for having us on.
My absolute pleasure, mate. My absolute pleasure. So for the listeners who don't know you, do you want to describe your journey? How did you come across EPP? How long have you been in EPP? And we'll take it from there.
I went to a franchise show in London. It was just prior to lockdown, so sort of back end of February, early March of 2020. Stumbled across the EPP stand, and I think it was Royce who was there, and he said there was a presentation on the main stand later on in the day, so to recommended me to go and have a look, which is what I did.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was yourself, Frank, who was doing the talk, and it just sort of resonated with me at the end of the day when I was sort of collating all my notes and sort of picking which ones I'd like to look at and pursuing, and EPP was at the top of the list.
Awesome. So we couldn't have put you off too much then. So what were you looking for? I remember the franchise show well. It was the last one before we went into lockdown. It was like tumbleweed, but everyone there was really serious because they'd like risked COVID to go and find out about franchises. So you've got your own successful wine business. What were you looking for at the franchise show?
Yeah, with the wine business, which I've had for many years, it's something that I'm quite central to. So I was looking at dovetailing another business alongside, which would give me more of a passive income in my latter years. So that was the primary goal, really. And I'd never actually been involved or invested in property at all. But it just felt, or you made it feel, achievable and realistic on the day. So that's, as I say, you know, you take these thoughts with you, and you run with it. And I said to myself, oh, sort of you go with your gut to an extent. So that's how I sort of left the day, feeling it was certainly a possibility that it's something I could achieve.
Brilliant. And the reason we've had you on is because you've done your first TDIC deal. So before we go into the numbers, and I do want to hear all the numbers, because that was your priority, wasn't it? To build your pot of cash up by flipping deals. Can you describe what a TDIC deal is? Because I'm guessing a year ago, you had no idea.
Absolutely. TDIC, it's turning discount into cash. So our business funnel was initially to do four deals in the first 12 months, two of which would be traditional AFTs, and two would be turning discount into cash, flipping the property, which would obviously help our cash flow in the first 12 months.
For the guys listening, what does turning discounts into cash look like? What's the transaction look like?
So the property that we are purchasing, the valuation is $133,000. Which we bought at a 75% discount of £99,500. In addition, there's some works to be done. It was actually quite early on, and Amanda very came out and did a day with us and helped quote with us the works that also needed doing, which is in the region of £10,000, Frank. So we're basically looking at offering the vendors £90,500. But the properties, when the work to be done, is certainly going to be valued at $133,000, which gives a nice chunk of cash of equity of, you know, $33,000 before fees.
Absolutely. I'm just working it out. So you've got, so it's exactly, if there's 10 grand's worth of works, you've got exactly £33,000 there. And so you're flipping that to a waiting investor, Tim. How did you find the investor?
So I've had really close contact with Debbie, who's been really good. It's been challenging, and I think part of that is part of me being new to the property business. But Debbie's been great. She's kept us in the loop every week. Initially, it was quite slow with the vendor because they're insistent on using their own solicitors. Thankfully, we've managed to change, and they're now using Sam Hawking.
Did they start off with their own solicitors and then get frustrated and switch? Is that what happened?
Correct. Yeah, you got it.
Oh, that's so hilarious, isn't it? We try and tell our vendors at the start that, you know, they can use any solicitors they want, but Those that are on our panel have proven themselves, have done multiple transactions previously with us, and we can vouch for them. And the number of vendors that go with their own solicitors after that warning is quite low. And then the number that after a few weeks in realize that there's just one bottleneck in this transaction that they can quite swiftly change it. So, that's good that they saw the light and swapped over. So what stage is the transaction at as of today, Tim?
As of today, the investor's in place through the Investor Club at EPP.
Do you want to describe what the Investor Club is from Global HQ?
Yeah, sure. So it's an option for members who don't have their own waiting list of investors to use the Investor Club, who, as I say, have their own list. And we basically go 50-50 on the deal. So the costs, I think the stamp duty is paid by the investor himself or herself, and then the fees are split before the split 50-50, and then the profit on the deal goes 50-50. So all being well, myself and Maria, we should be looking to clear in the region of sort of £14,000-£15,000.
Yeah, I was just thinking that because you got about £2,500 of legals, haven't you, in terms of the vendors' legals and the investors' legals. Yeah, so exactly. 14 to 15K for yourselves. And how did you find this deal?
This was through the paper, in our franchise area in Liverpool. So it was got on very well with one of the there was a brother and two sisters. Unfortunately, their parents passed away sort of in the last 12 months, and there's a lot of memories there in the last 50 years. So they just want to move the property on as sort of seamless as possible, without having to do too much of the work themselves.
And this is why I wanted to bring you on, Tim, because I think sometimes people struggle to believe that it really is that easy. Now, you've already said it isn't easy. It's not been without its challenges. Obviously, you're just getting going. You're in your first few months. When did you actually begin as a partner? When did your franchise start?
It started, it was the second week in February. And we started marketing from the 1st of March. So we marketing properly from 1st of March.
So we've got March, April, May, June, July, August. So you've got your first deal completing within 6 months, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's actually quite slow by EPP standards.
It is.
For the rest of the world, you know, to get your first deal done in your first 6 months is brilliant. And you've never done property before, which has meant you've had a massive amount of learning to do. And I know yourself and your partner Maria have been on so many webinars and soaking up all the education. How has your psychology changed about people selling their properties below market value? Because I know a lot of people struggle to understand the whole, it's worth 133, but they're going to sell it for 90. How has your psychology changed about that? And then in a moment, I'm going to ask you about your psychology about investors just lining up. Literally, we have a waiting list at HQ for investors that want quality buy-to-let properties at full market value. So talk to me about the journey over the last 6 months in terms of your beliefs around sophisticated investing, because the long and short of the matter is you're going to walk away with 14-15 grand for basically a couple of meetings and a bit of paper shuffling, which isn't bad at all. So talk me through
not bad return. No. Yeah. Although I've not been involved at all in property, and whether I knew it at the time, there's a sort of a certain synergy. When I started the wine business, I did a lot of home wine tastings and had to phone people up at sort of, 7 o'clock at night, and was used to quite a lot of no's. And so I had to sort of build up my own portfolio, as I say, in the wine business to an extent with the private sales. And what I found doing this, it was pretty nerve-wracking doing the first few calls, as it's obviously you've got to follow the script, so it's just getting familiar with the script. But after a while, I found there was a bit of a synergy that, it's okay for people to say no. You know, the people themselves have got to be motivated. So I was actually okay with that, and it didn't strike me as being too much of an issue just for myself personally. And I don't know whether subconsciously that was because of all the phone calls I've had over the years to private people.
You said, I don't want your wine. I don't want your wine.
So to me, I was actually okay with that, Frank. I was more, I actually trusted the system. And we've got three other deals that are going ahead as well as this one. So for us, I think that's given us that trust that the system works.
Yeah.
And it's okay for people to say no. The rapport is obviously really key, but the vendor has to be motivated to sell. There was a certain synergy I felt.
You've let the cat out of the bag, mate. I was building up to. So that sounds like you're going to hit 50% of your target. You know, if your target was 4 in your first year and you've done 1 in your first 6 months, you know, you must be way off target, but you've let the cat out of the bag. You've got 3 more going through, which you bang on target. In fact, you're ahead of target, actually. So, yeah. It just reminds me, Tim, listening to you speak about, I have a saying, and the saying is, no one comes into EPP with the entire skill set. It's just too broad. I don't even have the entire skill set. That's the bit that I have missing and just cannot motivate myself to do is the finance part of it. I cannot sit and check that tenants are paid every month and like, did the solicitors charge exactly what they put on the completion statement and that. I like doing the deals. I like meeting the people. I like working out how to structure the transactions. And so I have, now, actually, I have 2 bookkeepers that do that for us. We have 2 full-time bookkeepers over in Serbia that do all of our accounts for us. And so even after 13, 14, 15 years, I still don't have the entire skill set. No one has it, but neither does anyone come in with 0 skill set. And you said yourself, you hadn't done property before. Who would say that someone who traded in wine, basically, that there were transferable skills there for sophisticated property investing? But of course there are, and you've just said it yourself, many people struggle with those initial phone calls. I'm not sure why, quite frankly, because we never cold call in EPP. The calls are always inbound. So the vendors phone us and say, I've seen your advert, I'm interested in selling my house. Yeah. Please, can you help me? That's basically the phone call. But a lot of people struggle with the fact that you're going to be offering 75% of what the property's worth there and then on the phone. And most people are going to say no to that because most people are not motivated vendors. And so that's fascinating that your experience in your wine business is very transferable to your property business, which is excellent. So how many phone calls would you say you've had, Tim?
I would say in the region of 90.
Done about 90 calls.
Yeah.
How many vendors have you been? Because I think this is really important. People assume two things, actually, incorrectly. Either that it's impossible, no one will ever sell their property BMV. Well, you got 4 people doing it in your first 6 months. You know, 4 people have said yes in your first 6 months, which is amazing. We'll perhaps run through the other 3 in a minute, mate, and find out, you know, which you're buying. And then the other extreme is that, these people grow on trees. I can, you know, all I have to do is deliver a few leaflets. Well, no, because to get 90 calls, we know you've delivered quite a few leaflets and done quite a bit of newspaper advertising, et cetera. But how many of those 90 conversations have led to a face-to-face meeting with the vendor?
I would say you would be looking at 12 to 15.
Oh, that's quite high.
About 12, high. 12, maybe 12, probably 12. Yeah, probably 12.
So. Yeah, so that's what, 15% or so. That's good. That's good, especially at the start. Because what you'll realize, Tim, is if you compare your first 6 months with month 18 to 24, so, you know, the tail end of your second year, your conversion rates will be so much better. Your conversion rate from talking to people on the phone to going out to meet them will be better, maybe even double with experience. And your conversion rate of when you're in someone's front room, working out a win-win and actually signing them up. So you've met with 12 or so, and 4 of those have said yes. Is that right?
Yeah, that'd be right, Frank, yeah.
So you've got this TDIC flip going through. You've got 33 grand there, and you've you've passed it to the investor club, so you're going halves on that.
That's it.
30 odd grand net actually after fees. What about the other three? What kind of values were they, and what kind of amounts of the vendors accepted?
Sure. Okay. So the next, or the first one, which we are keeping ourselves, is was a property valued at 148.
Yeah.
Which is in the paper, and there's some small works that needs some attention when we take control of the property, which we've allowed £2,000 for.
Oh, no. On that one, then, that's nice and easy.
Yeah, so we are paying. Well, we offered 111 and deducted the two, so the vendor's receiving 109.
Wow, that's good.
It's a good deal.
Know what percentage of discount that is? Let me just work it out for you. So we've got 109 divided by 148. Yeah, it's a 26.4% discount. Yeah.
Yeah. So the 111 was the standard 75% offer, and then the 2000 was just for the works, just to cover ourselves.
So, that's awesome. And that one you're keeping?
Yeah, we're keeping that one. Touch wood, unfortunately, the vendor's away. She went on holiday at the weekend. The solicitor's been pretty. This is actually interesting what you're saying about bookkeeping, Frank. I'd probably struggle with the conveyances and the solicitors, and that's probably a huge weakness of mine, and they just seem to drag their heels a little bit. So I've struggled a bit with that, and that's taken hopefully a bit too long, but we should be in a position to complete when they're on her return from holiday in 2 weeks' time on that one.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. It's always hard, mate. Don't beat yourself up. Yeah. July and August, you've got vendors going on holiday, you've got purchasing solicitors going on holiday, you've got mortgage brokers going on holiday, you've got the vendor solicitors going on holiday. It just slows it all down. And of course, it's not just that, but the lenders have got people on holiday, the valuers are going on holiday, the whole mechanism slows down. Getting redemption statements can take longer, etc. So all good. So that's your second one. Lovely discount there of 40 odd grand.
Which is good. We'll have to leave a bit of money in just on the fees, because it's the 75% mortgage. But
after you've refinanced,
we still feel it's worthwhile because there's good equity and it's in a good area. So that's the second one. The third one, actually, which is at the other end of the spectrum, is a property that in good condition would be valued at £55,500.
Yeah.
That needs approximately £8,000 worth of work, and we're paying £30,250 for that one. So that's a completely different animal.
All right. Yeah. Is that is that leasehold or freehold?
It's freehold. It's on the other side of Liverpool. But we might look to pop that in an auction to see if we can, again, in a different way of turning the discount into cash.
Do you know what? I think that one could potentially work really well if you don't do the works to it. So I'd
leave it as it is.
Without the works, So that's 45% below market value before you've spent on the works, which sounds massive, but on a 50 grand property, it's not that big a discount, is it? Yeah, cool. So you've got roughly 20K in that one. So you're looking to flip conventionally there then. So to actually complete on that one and flip it conventionally. Yeah.
Yeah. Due to the auction, which is a whole new learning curve for us as well. So that's something that we're just starting. That hopefully, again, because of the simplicity of it, that should be completed by the end of September, we hope. So that's
awesome. And then you can
we hope it will be. Sorry, I'll get my RAS up.
Yeah, exactly. Set your RAS on it. So that's a good time to put it into auction. So if you look out for a middle of October auction, maybe late October auction, that would be good.
That's it.
What I would do if it's dragging on is get permission to, consider getting permission from the vendor to market it for auction. Be careful.
Okay. Because
they might then think, hang on, if you're just flipping it,
why do I need to
consider that? And my suggested technique on that one, Tim, is and I have shared this on the podcast before, is to go in at £1,000 more than it owes you. So if you've paid the vendor £30,250, legals are probably going to be in the region of £2,000 or so. So it's probably going to owe you £32,000. You won't have paid stamp duty on the £30,000 purchase either. So yeah, it's probably going to owe you £32,000-£33,000. I would just put it in there at £32,500-£33,500, whatever £1,000 profit is, as a reserve. They will then guide it at 10% lower, which will take it down to 29,900 or something. That is such an attractive price. And what you'll get is loads of people that want to get into property looking at it, loads of people getting their solicitors to have a look at the legal pack, getting their architects to check it out, whoever they want around. They get their builders round, and everyone will have invested a few hundred pounds that are serious. And if you can get 5, 6, 8 people who have all invested a couple hundred pounds, no one will want to walk away from it. And so what you'll realize is it will go up and up and up, and you could easily clear. I wouldn't be surprised if you got 50 for it, which is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, because
people pay more. They'll often at auction. I don't think auctions are a good place to buy, but I think they're a brilliant place to sell, especially in a buoyant market such as the one we find ourselves in now. So you've said it's worth 55. Isn't it crazy that someone might pay 50 for it and still have £8,000 worth of work? They'll sell themselves on it, a bit competitive. And that. And to be honest, even if it goes for 45 for you, so they get a bit of a deal, you've still cleared £10,000 without doing any work to it, which is not bad at all.
Is it worth, with regards to the reserve, to put the reserve at 33? That's not a risk in case it just goes at that price.
It is a risk, mate. It might sell at 33. My mentor shared this with me quite a few years ago now, and he swore, but basically he said you need big testicles to do this strategy.
Okay.
It was
recommended through Adam, so he deserves all the praise for this. He recommended. He had a good experience of the auction, so
there you go.
Big thanks to Adam for that.
Yeah, is that Adam Goodson?
Adam Goodson, yeah.
The collective IQ, Tim. Everyone working together. I love it. So what's your fourth one?
And the fourth one is a property that is valued at 93. The valuation hasn't taken place though. It's just in the initial paperwork stage. 93.5. We were offering, well, the 75% brought it down to, I think, 70,125. And there is about £7,000 worth of works. And we are paying 63.5 for that one. And there's tenants currently in there, which we hope we don't need to pay the full amount. They're quite happy. There's a couple of things that need doing, but the vendor accepts that if they moved on, we would have to make good the property. So we're paying 63.5 for that one, Frank.
So you got 63,500 divided by 93,500. So that's a 32% discount before you've done your works. I love that. When there's a tenant in situ, often there's next to no works you need to do. You need to get it compliant, so you need your electrical certificate, you need your gas safety. The number of properties we buy with tenants in situ that don't have those, unbelievable. So you need to get it compliant. But other than that, often a tenant that's in situ will be more than happy to stay and won't require all the works. But you're right to price the purchase for having to do all the works, because if they do move out, then the market, you know, will probably dictate you need to do those works. So that's another, that's another £23,000. It's fantastic, mate. You're really racking them up. And that one's one you're going to keep as well?
We're sort of juggling the finances at the moment. So what our plan is that we are trying to get we've got some sort of private investment that's just come on board the last couple of weeks, and we're trying to sort something out with our home as well. So if that is the case, it would be then that we'd have had, we would keep that one.
Yeah.
And then we'd have had two effectively flips, and we've kept two. So that's
the plan. Which is exactly your plan, isn't it? Which is awesome. But if the finance, the private investment doesn't come through, or your house refinance doesn't come through, you can flip that one and just put an extra, £20,000 in the bank, something like that, which will be a nice end a nice end to 2021 for you.
Exactly. Mate, right, Frank. Yeah.
You're flying, Tim. I love it. I love it. So we've talked about your belief about vendors selling below market value, and you said you're okay with the no's that you invariably get. In fact, you know, if you've had 90 phone calls and 12 yeses, that means you've had 78 no's, doesn't it? Which, to be fair, doesn't seem a lot when you're doing four deals. That seems quite reasonable. What were your beliefs, you and Maria, what were your beliefs before you came into EPP and learnt the system, and what are your beliefs now?
That's a really good question, Frank. I think when we joined, because I joined a month before Maria, and at the time after the show, we joined February, wasn't it? Early February. And partly that was because the wine business, everywhere was shut, which wasn't ideal for us in November and December, all the restaurants and the bars and everything. So, and through the sort of the monthly jolts from EPP, it literally forced me to make a decision, because it was always there at the back of my mind, but I felt I had to take action there and then. So, and it was more that I trusted the people who are working the business, rather, because you're not given too much information to start with about how it works. I joined straight away on the 4-month program. So I didn't actually do the taste today. I went based on a gut feel of the franchise day, looking at a few podcasts, and made the decision from there.
You didn't even do the one day seminar. You came straight in and did the 4 months, did you?
Yeah, I did the 4 months. I didn't do the day seminar. No,
that's impressive. Not many people come straight in. Most people do the one day seminar and just want to get a bit more. When you said there's not a lot of information about the program, I thought there's loads. Yeah. I wasn't going to challenge you like in front of the whole world, but now that you've brought it up, that makes more sense. So you hadn't done the one day, so yeah, you were quite.
I hadn't done the seminar. I probably had an extra glass of red the night before as well to take the leap of faith and just went with it. Excellent. Yeah, so it was, I'd had a look at the podcast and, you know, so it's sort of, you build up a picture of the company and a flavour of what it's about. So I just thought, right, we just got to get stuck in here. Maria joined, I mean, you know, she helped a lot in the first month, but I think she could see the potential in the business. And that's been fantastic, because our skill sets are quite different, and that's really, really helped on a lot of the attention to detail that Maria's really good at as well. So we found that's made it work really well as a team.
When spouses come on board and they're both engaged, which you and Maria are both engaged, you both come to your monthly training days with us up here in Derby. You're both engaged on the webinars. It makes a massive difference for sure. Yeah, glad you took that $3,000 punt then for your 4 months after a glass of wine.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So you're flipping this property at the moment, the one that's due to complete in the next week or two, to a full market value investor. Now, if you'd come on the seminar day, you'd learn about turning discounts into cash flow. You'd learn about sourcing at 25% below market value, which, by the way, Tim, you're doing that so consistently. You're sourcing all of these at 75% minus the work. So congratulations on just following the system. Yeah. How did you feel about the abundance of investors, your ability to just bring these deals into the investor club and turn them into, you know, five-figure sums? How did you feel initially? How do you feel about it now?
When you're first starting out on that journey, again, you're in the unknown. So you're not quite aware of what is actually available to you. But it's made very simply in terms of the 8% ROI that you've got to achieve. And once it became available within a couple of weeks, an investor took the property on. And, you know, from that point onwards, which is great, because I think that what that did to us is it gave us a feeling of a support network, that you're not on your own. So, you know, it's actually backed up in terms of, you know, this is what we have and we've delivered. And obviously our point in time in that first few months, the cash flows, I'm sure lots of the franchise, we have that common theme that it's important to get money back into your business. So for us, that was quite a big decision, that the opportunity's there and EPP have delivered and brought an investor to the party, which, as I say, hopefully in 3 or 4 weeks' time, we'll put 14, 15 grand back into the bank for us.
Without you having to buy the property. So for those of you that don't know how a TDIC flip works. A traditional flip is where you buy the property. In fact, it's like your third deal, the 55 grand one. A traditional flip, sure. You compete on it, then you go to the market and find a purchaser.
Yeah.
You pay your solicitor's costs on the purchase. You pay your stamp duty on the purchase, if there is stamp duty. You pay your estate agents or your auctioneers' fees, your vendor solicitor's fees on the way out of the flip. So there's quite a lot of costs involved, quite a lot of risk, because you're holding the property, waiting to sell it. And of course, you don't have any security of what you can sell it for, as per the could it sell for 33 grand at auction? Yeah, it can. Yeah. And of course, if you're holding a property, we're in a buoyant market right now. Mm-hmm. The market can change whilst you're holding it, and then you're stuck with a property, you know, that in a very illiquid market. So that's a traditional flip. A TDIC flip is what we call a sophisticated flip, where you never actually own the property. So this one that you're doing at the moment, it's been valued at 133 by an independent RIC surveyor on behalf of the armchair investor. So the investor doesn't want to see the property. So our investor club investors trust us to source them solid buy-to-let investments for them. They have put down at this point a £7,000 deposit to buy the property. So we know they're solid. We know they're going to see the deal through. That's non-refundable. So they're committed to buying the property. They're going through their mortgage and their legals at the moment, and they're buying it direct from the vendor. And that's the key. They're buying the property from the vendor. So yes, they pay stamp duty. Yes, there are vendor legals. Yes, there are purchasing legals, but there's not two transactions. There's just one transaction. And what happens is they buy that property for 133 from the vendor, but you actually will then receive the difference, the 33 grand difference. And then you and I, you and the investor club split the profit there, which is a real win-win, because the investor gets what they want. They get a solid property. You mentioned the 8% ROI. That's what we guarantee to the investor. So the investor gets a guaranteed 8% cash on cash return on their investment, which is a brilliant return when Bank of England base rates at 0.1%.
It is today.
You mentioned actually, Tim, that you've got some private investment. What's that look like?
Basically, he's a good friend. He's just sold his business, and I'm actually paying quite a high percentage, which at the for the first year I'm paying 10% on 40,000 for the first 12 months, which. And because he's a good friend, I'd rather keep it on a business level. He can get 10% all day long for his money. So I think for his business acumen and state of mind, he's happy to do it. But it also frees up a chunk of cash for us, certainly in this first 12 months. So to me, it felt the right option for the first 12 months. We can reevaluate, and as I say, if you can get it cheap, obviously you would like to.
It gives you a bit more liquidity, but I've borrowed money at 10%, mate. I've got money borrowed at 10% now. It does seem high, but if you're aiming to double, treble, quadruple your money, in fact, we did an exercise probably a couple of years ago now, where we looked at every pound spent in marketing, what does that turn into in terms of equity? And it's something like £5 or £6. I'd have to go back and check my calculation. Yeah. But for every pound you put into marketing, you get £5 or £6 back in equity. And what you've proven to yourself with this first flip is that there are waiting investors to buy that equity from you. So it's not like some hairy fairy, well, you know, it might be worth this in the future. No. At any point, you can liquidate and get your money out. So, that's awesome. Before we went live, before we started recording, we were talking about a partner who's just, I won't name them because they're just going through at the moment, who's just secured £300,000 unsecured lending. So just with a personal guarantee at 4% interest, which I'll bring them on and we'll interview
absolutely
them.
Absolutely brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. It is amazing. That's better than any loan I've ever done. That's better than any money I've ever bought into an investment. And do you know where that came from, Tim? Do you know the story? Have you been told?
No, not at all, Frank. No.
I only found out about this, I think, Thursday. I want to say Thursday. Friday. So over the bank holiday, because the investor, the person lending the money, wants to get it wrapped up by, I think, today or tomorrow. So the franchisee just dropped me a message and said, please, can you help me today? Because I need to wrap this up over the weekend.
Right.
The investor came from a referral from a tenant. So one of his tenants said, I've got an investor. Do you borrow money? And because finance investment is something we focus on EPP, you talked about your RAS earlier, your reticular activating system. That particular franchisee is always looking for money, as are all of us, at the right rate. And so his answer straight away was yes. He was confident. The tenant said, how shall I do it? He said, let me give the person a call. You know, have you got their number now? And I'll get them on and they'll talk about how it happened. But they say that luck is preparation meeting opportunity. And I think that's so true. And that's what you and Maria are doing so well. You are preparing yourselves for all of these opportunities. You know, would you have thought of borrowing 40 grand 2 years ago? Probably not. But now that you've got a business that every pound you put into, you get £5 back, it's just a no-brainer, isn't it?
So no, 100%, Frank. You just can see the benefits from it long term. And, you know, and right now it's crucial to have that investment. So,
absolutely.
But that's a great deal. And it's unsecured as well, you were saying.
Unsecured, which means he can use it on any deal he wants. It's 12-month loan, which is fantastic. Yeah, really positive. But it's good for the investor as well, because they're getting, that's 40 times better than they can get in the bank.
It's a win-win, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. It's all good. Tim, I really appreciate you coming on, mate, and investing your valuable time to share your story, really.
No, thanks for having me on. No, it's been a great journey so far, and we're, it's not enjoyment's not a word. I just think you can just see the potential with it. And it's nice that when something that is there, it delivers, you know, through the system, and the support network is fabulous as well. So, it's been a great journey for us for 6 months, and long may it continue.
Were you in the room on Tuesday when we did the monthly training day this month?
Unfortunately, I was on Zoom. That was one at the hotel. Yeah, I was on Zoom.
Let me just share a quick story with you, because that property that you're buying at 148 grand, I have now had some of my properties for 15 years. And what you've just said is absolutely true. Yes, it might be tight at the moment doing your marketing, you know, buying four properties a year. And how is that not going to be a squeeze on cash flow? You know, it's, most people buy one a year or two a year at tops, and you're aiming for four, and then you're going to ramp it up to perhaps six or eight as the other partners do. Sure. And so the compound effect of property. So let's just look at that 148 grand property. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you one that I did. So I had an 80 grand property. It was one of my first ever properties 15 odd years ago, 80 grand property. I've just sold it for 125. So you might look at it and go, well, that's okay. That's a 50% increase, but it's not a 50% increase, because I picked it up at 60K. Because you know, it was worth it. I picked up at 60. So actually it's doubled in value.
Double your money.
But also I had 60K lending on that. And so let's just do the interest on that. So £60,000 times point, let's just say it's at 3.5% at the moment. So that's 2,100 a year divided by 12 months. It's £175 a month. Now, when I bought that property, the rent was 395.
Right.
And so that was making me, plus a bit of insurance, plus a bit of lettings management. So it's probably costing me 250 in total.
Right.
And it was bringing in 395. So there's £145 a month profit, which isn't bad, especially given that I had.
Absolutely.
But not only has it doubled in value in the last 15 years, but the rent today is 625. So 625, and people go, cool, that's not bad. You know, that rent's nearly doubled, but it isn't that at all. And this is where people go wrong. The difference between difference between 625 and 395 is £230 on top of the 145. So now, instead of 145 a month, it's actually, I'm just doing this here.
375, isn't it?
375 per month. that's fantastic. Increased. So your profit hasn't doubled. It's gone up by over 150%. And that's what happens over time. Now, you don't have to sell. I make sure I sell one every year so I can use my capital gains tax allowance. it's the very little free money the government gives you. But, I own that jointly in personal names with my wife, because 15 years ago, it was better to buy personally than corporately. We buy corporately now. But that property will just get better and better. That mortgage will stay. So your property that you're buying at 109, you said, and spending $2,000 worth of works. Yes, you'll have a £37,000 chunk of equity there. Yes, it'll make you whatever it'll make you, 100, 200 quid a month now. But it's that compound effect of what will that do for you in 10 years? What will it do for you in 20 years? Plus, if you keep buying at a rate of 4, 5, 6 a year, you've got... Five of them this year, you've got 10 of them next year, you've got 15 the year after. Those 150, 250, £350 a month really start to add up over time. So
100%, Frank. And that's what we, that's why we, when we looked at the business, they're the sort of numbers we're looking at. And we're both 55. So we're thinking, after the 5-year franchise, there'll be some good passive income and some nice chunks of equity. So,
exactly. So you can. Start living off your hard work now, which I think is very solid, and I think a common business plan within the franchise, mate. So, Tim, appreciate you joining us, mate. I'm so excited for yours and Maria's journey, and I'll see you at our partner round table in a week or two.
Brilliant. Yeah. Thanks again, Frank. Look after yourself.
Take care.
Sophisticated Property Investing, a podcast brought to you by Ethical Property Partners, the experts in sophisticated property investment.